On the podcast today, we are going to speak about the parable of the chariot that we find in the Katha Upanishad and also the Bhagavad Gita. Now, this symbol is very famous. Many of you are probably very familiar with the chariot, especially in the Bhagavad Gita. And there's a few levels of understanding the chariot. And the deeper level, the esoteric understanding, is what we will speak about today. And first of all, when we look at the chariot itself, the chariot represents the body itself. So your body. And inside the chariot is seated the true self, the Atman, the master. So the true nature of our own existence, that undifferentiated consciousness that we speak about a lot in Eastern philosophy. That's the master of the chariot, right? And that's within all of us, actually unified as one. And then we have the charioteer, which is the buddhi. Now, the buddhi is the determinative faculty, what you would call a universal intelligence. Guyang and I have actually done a podcast on the buddhi specifically, probably about a year ago. And the buddhi can be developed, often is developed in your spiritual practice. And we all have the buddhi, but a lot of us have an undeveloped buddhi because we don't have any self-control, which we will talk about in a minute. And then the next part of the chariot is the mind. Now, the mind are the reins. The reins of the charioteers. So the buddhi is holding the reins, the mind, controlling in some sense the mind. And the next part?
And next part is we obviously we have horses, which moves the chariot, which represents the senses that we have, the senses. And also the roads along which the vehicle moves around will represent the objects, which will be more like a reality and the things that we get tempted by.
Yep.
Yeah, that which triggers the senses, which triggers horses.
Yes. So the external world is what we're kind of talking about, isn't it? Like, and the externality of the mental and physical planes of consciousness that we all experience, which is the sensorium, right? How our senses interact with the external world. Yes. So, as you said, these are the roads that we travel along. Mm. And the whole point of this is about self-control, right? Like we find in especially not just Eastern spiritual traditions, but specifically Vedanta itself, part of the discipline is self-control. But also in Taoism and Buddhism as well, you need to have a certain level of restraint and self-control to guide your chariot towards the goal, which we'll talk about later. So the self-control is very important, and this is what the chariot actually is there for us to use. It's a tool to understand, you know, our own, to understand self-control and the roads that we need to go down
yes
in an effortless manner.
Again, as you mentioned, self-control is most foundational faculty on the path of self-realization.
Yeah.
And again, especially in Vedanta, they emphasize even more, they regard as a restlessness, the restless mind, as like inferior state of mind. So which is obviously the lack of self-control, which creates a lot of confusion within our mind. So again, that this restlessness is somewhat in, at times in every one of us nowadays, right? We are constantly exposed to outside distractions. So we easily get distracted by these things so that we become restlessness. Our mind is always running 100 miles an hour. Again, this is to be regarded as inferior state of mind in Vedanta study. So that's something I think we need to kind of remind ourselves when we kind of lose our control a little bit, right?
Well, that's what the vrittis are, right? The vrittis in Sanskrit are the whirlpools within our mind. So it's the mental activity that is circulating within our mind where we're agitated, causing restlessness, where we have no ability to have equanimity and clarity to see the world as it truly is and to understand ourselves as it truly is. Because we get caught in the whirlpool. We all do, right? That's the nature of the mind. Nature of the mind is to be turbulent, but the real nature of the mind is empty, spontaneous, and free, but we identify with this mental activity, this whirlpool, and then we become restless.
Yes.
And you can see this in the actions of people. They might be tapping their feet or tapping the table. They're constantly thinking, you know.
Always listening something, right?
Yes, yes. That's only feeding the agitation.
Yeah.
So if you always got your headphones on or you're always watching something, you're feeding that agitation, those vrittis. You're actually inculcating more vrittis.
That's why I thought, like, unfortunately, most of us are living in this inferior state of mind nowadays, unfortunately. And it's a, I think, again, it is a big problem.
It is a big problem. And so we need to find methods and practices to counter this, right? So again, as we've spoken numerous times on the podcast, emptying the mind of the content, worldliness, desires is the first step in the process of guiding the chariot in the right direction,
mm-hmm.
instead of just letting the horses run here and there due to the external world. And that's what's happening, right, with the vrittis. It's almost like the Buddha has let go of the reins and just said,
yeah, rein is already out of your hands, and just horses just running around whatever they see on the road, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's exactly what's happening in a lot of us,
yeah.
in our normal, like, kind of state of mind, right? Like, we just let ourselves be bombarded by so much outside distractions. So, because meanwhile, our intelligent faculty not trying to do anything.
No.
So being literally lazy a little bit there.
Yeah.
So we just kind of, yeah, losing our control.
Well, that's how we become so addicted to the senses, right? Like, this is why we see with people, they're always eating something or drinking something. Usually that's not healthy for them. Not no one, but a lot of people don't eat with moderation. So moderation is a big part of Eastern spirituality, right? Like, of having just enough, but not eating too much that puts your system out of balance, or, you know, feeds the horses, so to speak. So they run here, there, and everywhere. So the world that we are designing is to stimulate these horses, to stimulate the senses. And so the whole, well, a key aspect within Vedanta and yoga is pratyahara, is the withdrawal of the senses.
Yes.
So if you have a developed buddhi who has strong control of the mind, the reins, he can pull the reins and kind of halt the horses, so to speak. So that's kind of the withdrawal of the senses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a core part of spiritual practice, not just within Vedanta and yoga, but also within Buddhism and Taoism, that a lot of people don't consider.
Yeah, so I see that this cultivating intelligence seem to be most important job and responsibility as an individual nowadays. Because, again, in this parable, the parable of chariot shows literally that if we're not in control of our mind, which is reins, holding reins firmly, without doing that, horse is just going to run around in chaotic sense, right?
Yep.
Then we get to completely lose our mind, and according to that, our intellectual faculty will decrease.
Yes.
Obviously, right? Yes. So again, this the buddhi, the cultivation of intelligence being in this parable is so important, the most important part.
Exactly. And so we should then speak about an undeveloped buddhi, right? So most people, as you mentioned earlier, have a undeveloped buddhi. A lot of us don't even know we have a buddhi. I mean, if you mentioned buddhi, people wouldn't really understand. But when you understand the parable of the chariot, it makes complete sense.
Yes.
And especially within spiritual practice, you need to have firm control of those reins, because your mind has a nature just to go here, there, and everywhere, and can engage and can be deluded in its own mental activity.
Yes.
And your mind wanders around, and our experience of life then is diminished because we're living through that illusion of the contents of our mind. And so our mind essentially is infected by worldly desires and also dramas. Mm. We see this today, right? A lot of people are attracted to dramas. Look at what the most popular content on YouTube is. It's drama content, obviously, right?
Yeah, controversy.
Controversy, yeah. The news, yeah. So forth and so on. So that indicates that majority of people have an undeveloped buddhi. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a no-brainer, obviously. Not everyone is introduced to Vedanta, for example. I mean, if they were, it's a game changer.
And I think, from holding reins firmly, meaning that we kind of protecting our mind and the intellect from outside temptation is also important, but this also means that what's going on within our mind as well, I think, that we get so much distracted to these outside things that's around us, but also our history of ourselves as well, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever happened in the past, which kind of disturbs you until this day, and you often get triggered by that memory and experience, and you bring up very, very, very much the same emotion out, like, let's say, 10 years later, because you haven't worked on whatever happened in the past, and those memories, and also the emotional response to it as well.
Yep.
Again, that stays within our storehouse, unconscious world, and it'll just come out, or while you're not even aware of it, you will just keep ruminating on it, right? You just, again, you mentioned about this illusion, you kind of live in the non-stopping this deluded story, which is based on your past experience, and you keep on that in a loop in the replay, while you don't even know, while you're completely asleep, right?
Yep. During the past 2 years, through the situation, I've had a lot of emails where people have said that before this situation, they were all good, well, Shanti, so forth and so on. But they've noticed on the couple of years in that maybe because of their anxiety about the situation and so forth and so on, they gravitated towards drama. And then that began to train them that now, like the emails I'm getting now, they feel like they're lost in drama, like in their own head. So they're attracted to drama then. And obviously, social media feeds that, because if you watch one video on some sort of drama, the algorithm will just push drama towards you. And, you know, we can say that the tech companies aren't running a social experiment willingly, but they know what they're doing. It is a bit of a social experiment, what's going on with the algorithms of social media. And it's training people to be more sensitive, triggered, dramatic. And unfortunately, people on the spiritual path that I'm getting these emails from are people that are lost in it, because they've been so, in the last couple of years, have been so attracted to drama that even in their own mind, they're seeking drama, as you were mentioning. It becomes so much part of their samskaras, the storehouse consciousness, the subconscious, the basement, that these couple of years have kind of infected their subconscious. So then they're outwardly looking for that drama, as opposed to 2019, when they were perfectly fine, maybe watching some of my videos, for example, and so forth and so on. But some of the emails that I've mentioned, that I've received, they've gravitated away from my content because, you know, the drama is more appealing to them at the moment because of that social experiment, particularly in the last couple of years. And this is the big part of an undeveloped buddhi, because if you had a developed buddhi, you wouldn't allow that to infiltrate your samskaras, or you wouldn't allow it to train you to be a certain way, where you have these habits of seeking drama and seeking what agitates you. Actually, people are actually just feeding their anxiety and their agitation and their aggression.
Yeah, again, having unhealthy intelligence, unhealthy buddhi, only encourages us to be recency biased, right? That's what also form habit of thinking as well. That's why again, yeah, past 2 years, and then I see that again, like it happened to everybody, everybody around the world, literally, right? So everyone's very more tend to think limited and not loose, not flexible enough, but to keep creating dramas in their own life, or again, their attention is keep going that direction instead of looking to, I don't know, new opportunities or possibilities or something more positive, right? So again, that habit of thinking is something so powerful, right? And yes, we are somewhat all accustomed to this way of living at the moment, but I believe the change is coming. And we actually, again, the change happens within the individual first. We need to put actually actual effort to stop thinking like that, I think. It's time to really move on with our lives, and we have so much to offer, I think. So we need to get out of this perpetual cycle of creating and get attracted to these dramas.
Well, that was my response to all of the emails, was basically, what is the most important thing in your life? Spirituality. Well, you then have to call a spade and focus on your spiritual practice and your development of the buddhi so that your chariot is headed towards the goal, so to speak, instead of allowing your horses to run here, there and everywhere and being attracted to drama, because that's actually what's going on inside of you. So if you were focused on your spirituality, you would have more space within your consciousness, so you wouldn't then be seeking drama. You might not be seeking anything. You might close your YouTube account and so forth and so on, right? So that's what we need to focus on. What is the most important thing in our life? And most people who watch my channel and listen to our podcast, that's what's most important to them. So what are you doing? Like, are you focused on politics? Are you focused on... And look, we can sympathize. There is injustice in the world. And this last couple of years has been pretty insane. There's no two ways about it. But in the end of the day, we need wise people going forward who are going to put humanity in good stead for the future. Do you want to be one of those people? Do you want to add fuel to the fire like the majority of people in the world? Or do you want to, you know, lead the path?
Yes.
Ride your chariot perfectly, so then people are inspired by you, and that's what we need.
I think it now especially would be a great opportunity to everyone who follows the spiritual path to practice the withdrawal, the vairagya, the non-reaction. Yeah, meaning that start holding these reins firmly again. Just withdraw our senses, withdraw so the horses can run in the right direction, right? So your senses are under control. It can be many ways. Like if we've developed habit of overeating, let's stop doing that. Like if overwatching TV shows, movies, whatnot, let's just reduce it. Something like this, you know, let's just reduce interaction on social media, things like that. And yeah, withdrawal the senses, that leads to less exposing to the outside, the temptation in reality, a bit less.
Yes. So instead of being influenced by all of this temptation, you need to fill your life with truth.
Yes.
Sat. You need to fill your life with the ultimate truth and focus on your spirituality.
Yes.
And that's the way that you correct your perception and your way of thinking about the world. So often when we have an undeveloped buddhi, our mind is thinking or ruminating about itself, but thinking about the ego as well. So you become self-obsessed and only self-interested, but you forget that you're part of everything. But you have this ego that is kind of distorts the reality. So you're not seeing reality as it is. And I mean seeing yourself as you are too, not just what the external world is, seeing yourself as you truly are, because your ego is actually thinking about itself,
yes,
not about the true self, which is ironic. And that's where we need to direct our attention. So we need to fill our life with the truth instead of filling our life with sensory pleasures.
Yes.
And it sounds too simplistic, right? Like, you and I have had many emails in the past. We've spoke to many people in person because I've been doing this for a long time. And people say, like, how do you develop on the path as we have, so to speak? And it's about concentrating on the truth, living that truth, and constantly studying and practicing and living a simple life as well, as you were mentioning. Like, we don't fill our life full of Netflix and we don't have smartphones and these things that are actually inhibit your spiritual practice. We are fine not to be part of any of that. And some people may say, oh, you're not up with the times, you're not up with the trends, and that's good for me. I never want to be up with the times and up with the trends. Like, that would, I would think I was a failure if I actually was keeping up with the Joneses.
Yes.
So our life has always been directed towards simplicity, and that's where people need to get back to, is to get back to that simple life, enjoy a nice meal with a friend or something like this, enjoy being quiet, enjoy a good book.
Yes.
Enjoy your spiritual practice. A lot of people don't enjoy their spiritual practices a lot because, say, if they meditate every day, they don't want to get up and meditate and they think it's laborious. But you need to develop a love for it. This is where the buddhi comes in.
Yeah, 100%.
And actually, I don't know why people actually get negative about their spiritual practice, because for me, it's a time to completely switch off from the person of Jason and come back to the true self. That's the specific time to do that.
And again, that's, again, the perfect way to put it, in that process is that self-control, actually. That when you withdraw your senses from all these things, that itself comes from a healthy, well-developed buddhi, well-developed intelligence, which only can come from your own self-control, right? And again, I love that part, that when you talk about one, you empty your senses, empty, so from withdrawing your senses, you get to empty your mind. Your mind gets much more quiet, more tranquil. And yeah, kind of when there is no longer thoughts there anymore, right? Even the thoughts are the result of senses, over activating your senses, right? Yeah. That creates, for example, you having beautiful, nice tea, that creates thoughts, this tea is good. That itself is a thought, and thoughts get accumulate and accumulate. If you don't empty your mind out, it'll just keep staying there, right?
Yes.
Like any positive or negative experiences, right? So the emptying process, withdrawing your senses is so important. And once your mind is completely empty and tranquil, that's when you fill that void with the spirit of the truth, which is true, real knowledge, with self-knowledge, the path of self-realization.
Yeah, Atma Bodha, as Shankara said, Atma Bodha, the path of self-knowledge and the path of realization and ultimate clarity. So the buddhi must be strengthened. And this relates to also willpower, the development of willpower. But we can't think of this as sort of like some form of self-torture, as a lot of people think spirituality is. You know, the layperson looks and they think, well, that Buddhist monk's torturing themselves doing this. And it's, no, they're not. You haven't actually engaged in the practice. It's hard for an outsider to make that sort of assessment when that's not actually what's happening in itself. They've gained complete control of their willpower. And they're developing the willpower as they develop their buddhi. The willpower is part and parcel with the buddhi, right? You're strengthening that buddhi. And in the process of strengthening the buddhi, you're actually purifying your mind. Isn't that a coincidence, right? Like, because when you don't have a strong buddhi, because your senses are going everywhere, you're constantly polluting your mind with all sorts of toxins.
Right.
psychological and physical toxins.
And a lot of times we are even unaware of that, right?
Mm. 100%.
Mm.
A lot of it's unconscious.
Yes.
We get tired and we crack a can of Coke and have a hamburger, watch Netflix at the same time. And this is all a process that's not so good for you. And look, there's time to chill, yes. No doubt. There is time to decompress. Yes. We're not saying that. But the problem is that this process of decompressing becomes a process of decomposing. Because you're constantly doing it day after day after day. It
becomes a habit.
Yeah, it becomes an ingrained vasana,
yeah.
An ingrained latent tendency. And a lot of people then get so frustrated and then they might cancel their
subscription
and they take everything out of their life. And then so they go from one extreme to the other and they don't sort of mature into the process.
Right.
And then they just fall straight back into old habits. So you've got to take things out incrementally to develop and grow. And that's how you and I have grown over the years, because we didn't just stop everything altogether. It was a natural process. You know, started with getting rid of the TV 13 years ago, and then it was just a natural process. Mm. Luckily, we never engaged with smartphones because we were living overseas, and that we kind of missed that moment in time in, say, the West.
True, yep.
And so it was a kind of a natural progression for us. So it also needs to be a natural progression for people to, you know, take those things out of their life, to, you know, develop their buddhi in a way that's healthy, and so they don't fall back into bad habits.
Yeah, I mean, we know that to go from one extreme to the other is just not healthy.
No.
And again, as you mentioned here, like, not that we're not talking about that we don't kind of enjoy life altogether. Mm. We sometimes do need to enjoy our life, but all we're trying to do here is to develop the healthy way of doing it, and that's when this self-control comes into place. Mm. So that step-by-step process, that gradually, we need to understand how mind works here. Like, anything and everything really works in a very gradual process. Our rational mind wants to get from A to B in no time, right? But in reality, we know things aren't working like that. Things are quite slow. It's manual. It's analog.
Yeah.
So we also need to think that way to reach the goal.
The thing is that when you do develop your buddhi, you actually enjoy life even more.
Mm.
Because you don't have any sort of psychological biases. You see reality as it truly is, and you can experience reality as it is. I remember Alan Watts told a story once about a yogi he observed, and this yogi was completely free and of like all sorts of biases, his conditioning, and he went from come out of the jungle, and then as India is, there's a lot of activity going on, and people are all sitting around dancing and this and that. And the yogi walked in, started dancing and this and that. And then he sort of left. Like, he was kind of really fluid with reality and was not stuck to any one image of himself, because he doesn't live in a particular place.
Yes.
But he's free to enjoy life as it is, almost like an innocent child.
Mm.
Like an innocent child would engage in the dance too, no matter how silly they look. But it's fun. But then they move on. And life goes on. And the yogi is a symbol of that innocent child in adult form that actually we have deep down inside of us, which is the Atman, which is completely innocent and free from an image and any sort of association, because it's undifferentiated.
Yes.
And that's how we need to live our life. So when you develop your buddhi and you have a lot of self-control, then you can move through worlds without being stuck to that world, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And you can enjoy yourself for what that experience provided. But your senses are not attached to the experience.
Right.
So you didn't go to the cinema and love the movie so much, you went and bought another ticket to another movie and so forth and so on, like, as an example. Or like you like the hamburger and then you went and got addicted to hamburgers. This is what happens to the senses, right? The senses have this sense of memory about them.
Mm.
And then you develop bad habits and then years go past and then you weigh an extra 20 kilograms and you're thinking, how did I get to this size? Because of your vasanas. Mm. It was from that initial hamburger that led you to eating two hamburgers a day for 10 years. And so when you have a developed buddhi, you're not going to fall into that trap because you're going to be able to discern what is healthy and unhealthy for you because you have firm controls of the reins.
Right.
But you are free to enjoy life as it is. Mm. But the senses, because the horses are still going in the direction, like the yogi, he kind of walked through the dance and just kept walking without like stopping at the dance and having a chit-chat with someone. He just moved on.
That's beautiful. That again, the senses that's unattached,
yep.
And senses that not addicted to certain experience. That's a key of how to truly enjoy life.
Yeah.
I think you enjoy it for what it is in that very moment, yep. And you don't get addicted or attached by it.
100%, and that's how we have to be. That's the point of the Zhuangzi philosophy, right?
Yes.
Zhuangzi's whole perspective is, if we look at the perspective of genuine pretending, is to not have a fixed image of yourself where you can move through worlds. And Lao Tzu talked about this too, where you need to have variation. So when someone said, what is the way to Lao Tzu? And he says, to have variation.
Mm.
If you have an image of yourself, you've been then a victim of socialization and you're thinking then about this image of yourself. But the image doesn't exist. And when you physically die, that image is going whether you like it or not.
Yes.
It's done for. And so the whole practice of Eastern spirituality is to get rid of the image, because it's only the habit of the ego that develops this image.
Yeah.
And then you start defending this image, protecting this image. And if you didn't have that image, you could care less what people think about you anyway. You can just say what you want and move about freely without having people censor you or police your thoughts. You could care less. You can just move on and do your thing. And that's the point of what Zhuangzi was saying. If you come from the zero perspective here being the Atman, then you can move. You can be a garbage man one day and you can be a carpenter the next. And you're not stuck to that you were a garbage man the day before. So you can live your life like that. And that's someone who has firm control of the reins.
Right.
And are headed towards the goal. So it doesn't matter what's happening in the phenomenal world to that individual. Anything can happen. I can be a garbage man one day, carpenter the next, a dentist the next day. It doesn't matter, because your direction is towards the goal. And so it doesn't matter what the phenomenal world provides you.
Mm.
You're just living as a human, but your consciousness is obviously developed a little higher than the average Joe and Jane.
Mm. Well said. It's quite interesting that I think it's our mind... Nowadays, I guess because of socialization, we get to stuck into one way of thinking so easy, right? And to, let's say, to become somebody in a certain industry as a career-wise, and you identify yourself with the job, and you obviously completely attached by that job, and you set your life around that way of thinking and living, right? But in that sense, your buddhi is kind of stop growing in that sense, because your mind is so stuck into the one state, really.
Hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
But be fluid, be like shapeless, be effortless in life. Actually, it's the other way around, that you need to have a strong, well-developed buddhi intelligence.
Yep.
You need to have a strong control over your senses and your mind, right? But as you mentioned, once you have all these faculties together, then you have such freedom to live life in very effortless manner.
Yeah.
Effortlessly just flow by.
Exactly. Well, the parable of the chariot is that through discipline, there's freedom. So through spiritual discipline, there's freedom. So you've got complete control of the chariot. Your buddhi's developed. The horses are going towards the spiritual goal. And you're free then of your own sense of self. You're free of the projection you have of what the world is, because you've disintegrated that ego. And so you're completely free. So whatever happens in the phenomenal world doesn't matter to you, because you've got control of your chariot. If we look at a chariot, you know, you can go over mountains and it doesn't matter. This, you'll still get to where you need to go.
Yes.
Everest will pop up. You'll just go right over the top of it, you know. So, and that's the point of this parable.
Mm.
And when we talk about the goal, obviously the destination is ultimate realization.
Yes.
Or abiding in Brahman, the ultimate reality, or the Tao, if you will. So the realization that the deep down Atman within us is identical with Brahman.
Yes.
And that means that you've had perfect control of the chariot, and you've realized that truth, in some sense, is a pathless land, as Jiddu Krishnamurti said. Because the roads, some of the roads that we go down, are where the senses want to go, they're where our beliefs and this and that want to go. But as we've just been talking about, when you have control of it and you have experienced freedom through discipline, then you realize that you can go down any path, but actually truth is a pathless land.
Yes, and the Supreme Self is in complete control, complete realization, really, isn't it? The supreme state of the Godhead.
Yes, that's right. The self, the Atman, reaches the goal because the buddhi steered the chariot to its destination. That's the point. So your buddhi was so developed, it knew what the destination is.
Mm.
And it knew it didn't need to go down this road to find it or that road. It just needed to gain control of the chariot.
Yes.
To reach Brahman.
Mm.
And so we often will associate and attach to certain roads or paths or cultures or religions or what have you, everything that you think divides us. And you think you're going to experience freedom through that, and you actually don't. All you have to do is gain control of your chariot to understand the ultimate truth.
It doesn't matter what path you go to.
It doesn't matter what path you go to, no. Because you can get to the ultimate destination no matter what.
Yes.
And, you know, the ultimate realization is usually that when you do gain control of your chariot, is that you are already at the destination.
Mm.
The search was the problem.
Yes.
You were searching for enlightenment, ultimate realization, but you already are that.
Yes.
Liberation is your true nature.
And the journey that you go through in the pathless land is kind of dwelling in the state of Atman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So everything is resolved. All paths are resolved. Your senses have come back. You've withdrawn your senses.
Yes.
You've got complete control of the mind. Your buddhi is developed.
Mm.
So you're abiding in that pathless land of Brahman. That's about it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you guys next time.